I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Saw a great piece yesterday. You will not believe how detailed this is and how wrong it is. Remember we told you that the SATs, you know, maybe the SATs ought to go out of business if they think their test is so biased. Taking the SAT for a lot of colleges, they're not even following that now, right? I'm looking at, remember the measure they came up with? Here are the neighborhood measures. Here are the factors. They're going to come up with a score, your victim score, or your privilege score, in addition to your SAT score. Now, they're not calling it that, but that's what it comes down to. Listen to some of the measures that they're going to send to the colleges. What's the median family income in your neighborhood? Percentage of households in poverty. Percentage of families with children in poverty. Percentage of households with food stamps. Percentage of families that are single-parent families. Percentage of housing units that are rental. Yep, all this will go to the college. That will be spit out. They're also going to send to the colleges percentage of housing units that are vacant. Rent as a percentage of income. Adults with less than a four-year degree. Adults with a high school diploma, less than a high school diploma. Then they're going to look at the percentage of unemployed. They're going to look at things like college-going behavior. And on and on and on it goes. And the problem, by the people that broke this down, you can just imagine. You might be living in a, quote, privileged neighborhood, you know, maybe with housing that was put in there for that reason. And that doesn't reflect what your background is. This is massive. They're calling it a dashboard that will be sent to colleges. Now, just think of how much we've already put the victimhood status out there. Just think of what people are going to try to do to game the system here to show they're a bigger victim. That's the broader issue that's here. Wanting to be the bigger victim, the bigger crutch, this will enhance your score. Instead of, all right, how about if you have to, schools and others ought to be investing more in having people practice for the SAT. What's wrong with that? Is that impossible? There's always going to be somebody with more of an advantage. So the way they're going to try to curtail that is to run up the victimhood numbers. There must be 45 to 50 categories here that they're going to give percentage of that'll be sent to the colleges, and they're actually going to give an adversity score. What will the privilege line be? What will the adversity line be? It's just amazing. This is the type of groupthink that goes into this that is just appalling. They're going to be calculating this. Your SAT score, you should get to know it. You should get to know what your score is. Yep, you have an adversity score or you have a privilege score. And there are probably people out there saying, yes, 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 I have privilege. It's awful, isn't it? But still want to go to the very best school. Imagine now fueling even more this type of notion of a battle to say, I've had it harder. That's what the coaching will be. There will be people right now that are making this an industry. They'll meet with parents and others, and they'll try to figure out ways to up the adversity score. We already know on the SATs, you've had people caught. They're faking learning disabilities. See, I think if you're taking the SAT, hey, you take the SAT. I don't want to hear about anything else. Everybody takes it under the same system, same time, and everything else. You see what happens when you start carving out exceptions here. So what will people do to gain an edge, to take some of the diversity, some of the adversity onto this, to include that in their score? imagine the minutiae of this that they're drilling down to. And there's a lot more on these sheets I have that I didn't read out that will be part of your adversity score. That's how far it will go. 855-839-1210. There's even the parenting. If there's only a single parent there, that's more adversity. Well, I thought we were told it's not, but it is here. Nope, they should have to give up the number. And people are always going to be thinking, wow, yeah, it is adverse. You don't know how tough it is to deal with this. 855-839-1210. And colleges already doing some of this stuff now are going to be using it even more. I don't know if this is going to be done to be used against Asian students to keep more of them out. How that will play with them, because that's one of the goals. Can't have too many here. They're doing too well on this and academically. We don't want that. It's not diverse enough. Well, aren't they minority students? Didn't a lot of them have that status? Well, no, they're not really. Well, they are. What else would they be called? All right, let's go to Ben in Wilmington. Ben, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So the comments that I had, you know, I just feel like this is another attack on the merit-based earning system, another form of class warfare, another form of collectivism just seeping its way through the university systems. Because, you know, a lot of people have risen or have fallen down the economic ladder based on their own choices, right? There's a lot of people that have, you know, pulled themselves up by their bootstraps because they've made healthy choices and they decided to study and sit down, et cetera, maybe make certain sacrifices.
All right, but let me challenge that a little bit because I don't think we'll hear this. Look, you would concede, though, say you're growing up, I'll go right for it, say you're one of Donald Trump's kids versus someone growing up in North Philly, you would concede there's pretty big advantages there, right?
Okay, but if they want to pass the SAT, they still got to sit down and put in the work. No matter how much
you're with a very bright person and with a wife that's very bright. And then let's say it's Chelsea Clinton. You're with the president. You're with a woman reputed to be one of the most intelligent. You have access to every resource, every tutor toward the SAT, Ben. Even I'd have to say that's a pretty big advantage.
I say having a tutor, it could be an advantage.
No, I mean, but if you grow up with a mom that's a lawyer and a dad that's a doctor, just think.
Are you telling me that because I don't have money that I am not as smart as somebody with money?
No, I'm saying, though, you're not wanting to concede the advantage here. If you grow up with a dad that's a lawyer and a mom, let's say, that's a doctor, the vocabulary development, the stuff you will hear almost all the time will be more than a kid that doesn't have that, right?
I would absolutely agree with those advantages that are probably in many cases earned. So,
Wait a minute. The kid didn't earn it.
But if his family did, and if a family, so what if his mom and dad earned them the, you know, if they put in the hard work and they make choices, that just goes to show you that there's rewards later in life when you do that as a parent.
Well, that's all true. But what I'm saying is it's not an equal playing field to take this test. We all have to agree with that, right?
Well, the world is not an equal playing field.
Okay, that's all that I'm saying. That part is true, but I don't know.
Well, why do you have to demonize people for succeeding?
Okay.
And now, I would fully agree that the people that abuse the system, because there are many, and people will try to buy, and I still reject the idea of certain forms of, I don't want to say privilege, okay? Are there advantages? Absolutely. But I've seen there's also equal opportunity, and there's also many other forms of assistance programs that level the playing field, and it still doesn't absolve the individual of their individual.
We agree with that, but there's not enough there that's leveling any playing field. The only thing that can do that, you know, my motto on this, they can't outwork you. That's the only choice you have. Boy, that was kind of weird, but I'll continue down that. You got to concede at least that some people have an advantage. And the advantage you have is, what are you willing to do to overcome that, right? 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T, you jump in with Dom. Will you at least concede that? This whole thing is cockamamie. I agree. But you got to concede some people have a head start and some don't. I grew up in South Philly. I think that was the greatest education in the world. That doesn't mean, though, someone on the main line didn't have an advantage in some way. What I was trying to drive out with Ben, and thanks for a great call, is you got to concede there are advantages in life. That doesn't mean they can't be overcome. that doesn't mean when it comes to college, the SAT, and all this stuff, that we ought to be developing what I have in front of me. It's a monstrous document. It's just saying that that is the case. You know, you can't be irrational about it. Then you got to strategize. All right, you're raising your kid. How are you going to raise your child to compete in a world where there are advantages? 855-839-1210. All right, so the College Board, the organization behind the SAT, is piloting, you can imagine, just think of this language, an environmental context dashboard. The dashboard always gets me. That aims to surface students who have overcome socioeconomic challenges, raising interesting questions about logarithms and all that is involved with it, okay? And this Big Data is the website that this was at. They're complaining, what about transparency? Shouldn't we know this score? The College Board, in addition to whatever you score on the test, will deliver a score between 1 and 100. 1 will be the least disadvantaged, and 100 will be the most disadvantaged. Okay? That's an interesting way of doing it. The admissions officer will get a dashboard, and they show a dashboard like this that has all kinds of numbers, your neighborhood, your high school, your parents. Boy, it is extensive. And then they'll come out with a number. Now, they ask, what's the problem with this? Well, it's already raising concerns. Some parents strive to move to good school districts and neighborhoods. And now there could be a penalty for what used to be a worthwhile goal. So, you know, if you stay in one neighborhood versus another, where one is judged to be more effective, even though you're scrimping to get there, then, you know, that could be a problem. Knocks down your score here on this. And you don't even know what the score is. You don't even have a shot that you can challenge this. There's going to be court cases over this. Trust me. And it's wrongheaded to go down this path. The way to deal with this is, if you're going to keep the SAT, which I still support, there's got to be an objective test. You can't rely on these schools. There's so much nonsense, and I know that from being inside them. You would never rely on your overall academic record and all. A lot of it is just ridiculous. Some schools are substandard, to put it mildly. You wouldn't be able to make any kind of comparison. That's why we have the SAT. Okay. There is tutoring helps with this. Coaching, tutoring, working on it, that helps. Vocabulary, certain kind of math, some schools don't do that. These are all potential advantages. The way to deal with that is the schools have to put more resources to offer kids help in getting ready for this. And or parents to get their kid ready for this. And or over the course of time, develop your kids' vocabulary, their outlook on school, and all those things. If you don't want to do that, well, then you are going to have difficulty. But imagine coming up with the score. And I'm trying to think at the one would be the least disadvantage. I'm trying to think of who that is. Is that the Laughlin kids? They might be at a one or a two. Now, they're dopes by all accounts. You've heard the girl talk. Come on. Or disinterested people when it comes to academics. They would probably be at a one, two, or three. And what would the 100 point be? Oh, my God. I can't imagine. The hurdles that person would have. Imagine a perfect score. The 100 person would be the most disadvantaged. Now, you can see the pitfalls with this. The calculation that goes into this and the idea of trying to play into this privilege versus I'm more disadvantaged. And on and on and on it goes. 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210, we'll get you on board. And this plays into this rat race and adds a new flavor to it. And already there's talk of people that will try to game this. They will try to get an edge, to get a disadvantage score. Now, how are they going to overcome all this data? Well, that's where the gaming, that's where the coaching, that's where people will come in that will try to get data, falsified or otherwise, to get into this. And in the big picture, what's wrong is that college, big college, is wrong. It charges too much. It's too self-important. It's corroded everything, and it indoctrinates way too much. That's where the revolution has to be. This is a real eye-opener, though, material of what's behind this and how they're going to play it out. Because up until now, this is just the last day or so, I hadn't seen the criteria they're going to be using, and it is very, very detailed. Percentage of adults in your neighborhood, what the heck is this? Percentage of adults with agricultural jobs. Does that mean if you're a farmer, you're a dope? That takes you down? Apparently it does. Percentage of adults in your neighborhood with non-professional jobs. Percentage unemployed. Percentage of housing units that are vacant. Percentage of single parent families. Poverty rate. I mean, there are quite a number of indices. There's even a Venn diagram. I always love the Venn diagram here. Neighborhood environment, family environment, high school environment. And then the student is the thing in the center of these three in the Venn diagram. So you could be in a... Okay, here's an example. Kid going to St. Joe's Prep. That's a horrible neighborhood. Come on. In the middle of North Philly. But it's a prestigious school. Yeah, but it's a horrible... Well, I don't know. We have to get our calculators out here. The point I was trying to make with Ben, though, is, you know, you can't not say that some people grow up with more. The thing that's the biggest is not so much just money, it's influence and the environment that the kid's in. Now, deep down, I'm suspect of growing up with that kind of privilege or that kind of whatever word you want to use for it. I'm kind of suspicious that it softens you. But I wouldn't want to grow up in a environment that was incredibly dangerous or something like that. So I always thought the environment I had in South Philly was the perfect world. It was very competitive, but it wasn't what I would call dangerous. You know, I took it for granted versus the environment DJ and Luke grew up in. You know, I just like it to the sports. When I played in South Philly, it was much different when DJ and Luke played in Mount Airy, Chestnut Hill. Trust me, much different environment in a game there. It was perfect. It made me who I am. That's the type of environment that I think that works. But playing with this stuff is like playing with fire. Now we're adding even more. And now we're calculating it even more. Can you imagine the drive for that score? So the reason why these services don't want to be transparent with this, they ought to be made, there's going to be lawsuits. This is the thing. They don't want to be telling people they're a one, probably. They don't want to do that. That's insulting. And then other people on this want to fake it and get to 100, which is the most disadvantaged, for advantage in this system. Just picture Elizabeth Warren, a girl growing up and seeing this. Oh, man, here we go now. All right, we're going to fake the Native American stuff. And then can I put down grandmom's house? That looks to have a median income that's lower than this. Can you imagine the fooling with this, with these maniacs coming up with this? 855-839-1210. You get a line. It's impossible. There's a great short story, Harrison Bergeron. Haven't read in a while, where the world is trying to create total equality. And because Harrison Bergeron is such a physical specimen and so smart, they have to, Isaac Asimov, I think, wrote it, they have to put all kinds of weights and all kinds of things to mess him up for Harrison Bergeron to be completely. Right? Think about that. So the smart person, we have to do something. We have to take points off. We have to come up with a pill to make them not quite as smart. the person who's more physically attraction, maybe we put a scar over there. You know, just think of how there's advantage in life and overcoming that and trying to calculate that. You can't. And the more you think about this, I think the more you're going to have difficulty. 855-839-1210. The one thing that bothers me the most about it are people like the Kennedys. Or a lot of these people, Beto and others. They're running for president and they're acknowledging their privilege. Then why the hell don't you get out of the race and let a person of color or a woman win? How is Bernie Sanders in the race? How can Joe Biden be in the race? I mean, at least Trump is honest. He said, I don't care about anybody else. I want to be president, right? Joe Biden, oh, privilege. Yeah, we have privilege here, male privilege. But I should be president. I'll make her vice president. Stacey Abrams, bring in a woman, that's all. You hear Cory Booker even say, well, I'm going to make a woman, any woman. We're going to put a woman on there as vice president. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought you were about women. You shouldn't be president then. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's all you other guys. I should be president, but I get to be president by lecturing other white males, or other males at least, about why they ought to give it up for women. That's the way that it works. But there's always one male that should be in charge. Usually they're called the Kennedys or the Clintons or something like that. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you push pound 1210. And you look at anybody's life, and you could see upside and downside all over the place. I don't know who has had the perfect formula that you would say, yep, they had the rosier path. It's all a matter of comparison, and I'll have you look at it. But I'd be the first one to say, there are probably people listening right now that have overcome more than I or more than you to get where they are. There's no doubt. But imagine a score, your victimhood or your privilege score, 1 to 100. That's what they're actually going to calculate. Hard to believe, huh? As if things are not already muddled enough. And they're not going to tell people that. There's where the lawsuit comes. There's where I hope people go after them with a hammer and say, oh, yeah, you're going to have to say this because this is something. How do we know how this is fully being arrived at unless we see the data points and we see where you're putting me? And I have no chance to appeal against that and say, no, I'm not privileged. And it's fun to think, I don't know if they'll put out a little booklet with the least privilege, kind of a composite picture, and over here, Lori Loughlin's daughter. I don't think that girl's privileged, by the way. Because, yeah, she had a lot of advantages, but she doesn't, she's not going to make it. She doesn't have the stuff to make it. It's a dope. That's harsh to say, but given it's out there publicly, that's the way I see it. So, you know, there's a lot of things, if you soften the kid up too much here, that may not make it either. 855-839-1210. If you never called before, I'd love to get you in. Where do you think you would come out on this? 1 to 100. 1 is the most privileged. 100 is the most disadvantaged. This is right from their guidelines. This is good stuff. College Board's now adding this new wrinkle. The transparency is the thing with these people. I don't know how they're calling it, the environmental context dashboard. It doesn't alter a student's SAT score. It does show how a student's SAT score compares to other students in their school. It doesn't take into account any personal characteristics of a student beyond the test score. It does provide admissions officers with better context, they say, about an applicant's neighborhood and high school. But boy, it is extensive. It is median after this and median after that. And they actually come out with a score that they're saying is the most advantaged would be 1, and then the most disadvantaged would be 100. How would you like to see them crunching those numbers and coming out with the 1 and the 100? So in a close call, you know what's happening getting into various schools. Now, their argument is, well, the 1 is going to get into any school that they want. Okay? Here's the thing. Here's my big picture out of this. This is this college nonsense rat race. All right? College nonsense rat race that is corroding and bringing in another big element of this bean counting extraordinaire on victimhood. In other words, this rat race of all this stuff and trying to gain an edge, toward what point, I really don't know, other than the piece of paper, the cachet, that you're a Harvard graduate, Princeton, whatever, versus your knowledge, your academic prowess. It's a corrosive element. It's just big college is just corrosive. The cost, the student loan debt, that is just obscene. And then nonsense like this. And then the Laughlin scandal. And that's why people are so, it's just endless. How is college anymore, by and large, a force that's positive? It's one thing, just what goes on campuses, the lack of freedom of speech or even getting that, the hate speech people coming out with, can't have a conservative here. Socialism, people turning toward that. In what universe is this a positive force? And it's amazing. Everybody wants to have a solution to student loan debt, things related to it, because it's on the minds of people. And yet they never want to address who's charging all that money? Colleges. What do you do to push back against them? I've told you what can be done to push back against them. It never even occurs. It's always about, should we fundraise more? Can we set up, before the kid's even born, a 529, whatever it is, to save the money? Can we give them more money somehow or another? What is it that's driving? What's driving it is they're going to charge it because they can. They have something like crack cocaine that everybody says they want. They've corroded and corroded and corroded rather than being positive. And here's the latest now with the college boards wanting to get into this. You know, some of it is because they're afraid. Here's what I think on this. The SAT is afraid if they don't start doing stuff like this. Colleges already, what is it, about 125, 150 of them, don't use SAT scores. Did you know that? So are they afraid of their diminished importance here that eventually the whole system might say, well, we're not going to look at that. Doesn't matter to us. We're going to look at other things. So now they're coming up with another score that they'll be the keeper of to give them some hope of still being a main player about who gets into college and what college and all the rest of it. Is that the reason? Yeah, I think it is. They'll be the arbiter, and they're not going to tell you. I always think transparent. Be transparent. What are you hiding? The SAT score will be known by people. Can you imagine walking around and instead of just, you know what your SAT score is? By the way, do people actually, you know, ever say what their credit score is? Remember for a while people were saying that? I don't know how many scores people say. Would you be able, would a person say, oh, well, I have you beaten. My disadvantage score, I'm a 98. Will this become part of our everyday parlance, you know? Wow, you're a 98. My God, how do you even walk around? I'm a 1. Imagine that. You have to have sackcloth and ashes. You have to walk around repenting for life for your privilege. 855-839-1210, you get a line. Imagine that. Will that be the new score that people will know? We know your SAT score. Sometimes people reveal their credit score. All right, let's go to Al in Regalsville on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Al.
Hey, you got the greatest program, but you really it really ruffled me here with these people telling you about college scores. Let me give you a breakdown about the reality of life today.
Okay.
My mom raised 6 kids with no father in the 50s and 60s.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All of my brothers, you said the key word, work hard. Okay? That's how we got out of the project, work. So I'll give you this. All brothers, all 5 of us owned a business, all of us. Government didn't give us anything. Is that white privilege? I'm going to ask you, did I have any white privilege? I went to college, paid for my own,
right.
Law enforcement.
Well,
I'm an FBI graduate, and they could give a hoot less that I was in the project.
Well, you're making a great point, and I wanted to tie it to something even national. If you remember Howard Schultz, the guy with Starbucks, we'll play that tape, Dan. I think you'll be able to find it. When he came out and said that, hey, he grew up in a project. He grew up in a project, too, where they couldn't make ends meet. He remembered his father doing that in New York. He knew people, and he felt, even though he's wealthy today, he could bond with people just as you can because he came from that. Oh, man, they killed him on that.
Oh. And you know what? Here's the sad part about this. I'm retired now in law enforcement. I worked three jobs up until 2 years ago. Is that white privilege?
No, well, certainly, Al.
Okay, think of that.
No, I don't know how much the racial, I have to look further here. I don't see any racial component to this that they're going to be cataloging. It's mainly neighborhood, high school, and parents, okay? But this whole idea is, particularly the non-transparency, is going to upset people. Do you remember that with Howard Schultz on the national level? Carnarcy. He grew up in, and he talked about the project there and all. It was true. And they were mocking him for it. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to talk about it. You're a white male. Get out. Well, then, but what about Joe Biden? Well, he's electable. See, they didn't want Howard Schultz to talk about his life and making it because they know he's not electable and they're afraid that he'll cost them the election. Joe Biden is allowed to do all this nonsense because they still view him as electable. So I would just ask, if I ever had a chance with one of the Kennedys, you know, particularly this Kennedy the Third character, why are you in office? Why are you in office? You prattle on constantly about privilege this, privilege that, and about how we have to move women forward, for example. Okay, well then no Kennedy male should hold elective office and be running for president. I mean, isn't that logic impossible to stop? All right, here's Howard Schultz talking about growing up in the projects.
Senator Elizabeth Warren said some pretty sharp words about me. She referred to me as a billionaire out of touch with the American people. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, in Canarsie, in federally subsidized housing, the projects. When I was 7 years old, my father, who was a laborer, came home and had a serious accident. He was dismissed from his job. We lost our health insurance. I witnessed the fracturing of the American dream. I started with nothing, and I made it in America because of the aspiration, the magnetism, and the spirit of our country. I've always believed in the promise of the country. What is the promise of the country? And that's what it is regardless of your station in life, the color of your skin, your gender, your sexual orientation, whatever it might be, that everyone should have a chance in America. What we need right now in America is for the country to come together and for the Democrats and Republicans who have been unwilling to work together to finally realize that the American people deserve much more than political slogans and tweets. What we need is a government that can work for us, for leadership that we can trust. And if I run for president, what I'm going to try and do is restore the faith and the promise of the country and the American dream.
Well, that last part, thanks for getting that so quickly. Howard Schultz, they killed him for that. How dare he? And he comes back with the projects. They couldn't say he didn't. It was true. Who are these people? How do they get away with this nonsense? There are people like that. Well, but he was white, I guess, would be the argument. And Elizabeth Warren was white. Well, but she's a female. Okay, then Joe Biden, right now, Bernie Sanders, they should not be in the race. It's pretty logical. You can't run around running for president and then lecturing the rest of us. Elizabeth Warren ought to be the prime candidate now. By the way, I still think Hillary's lurking out there. She's waiting for this debate for Biden to go down big time. Watch for that. You know my theory about Mrs. Clinton. So, you know, a guy like Howard Schultz that we played, this plays out in national politics. You see this constantly. I think these women on the Democrat side ought to say this to every one of these males. Why are you in this race? You're throwing us a bone with being vice president. You're telling us it's a time of women, it's the era of women, we need women and all the rest. You see the trap they get caught in. Well, some are allowed to evade that trap, apparently, like Joe Biden up until now. We'll see if it closes. That's right. That based upon what Democrats say nationally, all things being equal, because she's a capable candidate, their nominee ought to be Senator Harris. Well, then you have people, they're complaining, she's not a person of color enough for their like, all that stuff. Well, she is, and she's a female. She ought to be the nominee. And then the second place ought to be Elizabeth Warren, because she's a female, and at least she has some fakery going for her that she's, you know, not a white female. You know, they'd have to bring in scientists on that. So she ought to be the VP choice. I mean, this is what they program all the time. How come when it comes to the reality of who should be president, who should running, and all the rest, how does a Beto O'Rourke, who's a trust fund guy all of his life, how does he have the nerve to run? That this doesn't come up. And he addressed, he says, I do have privilege. Well, then you shouldn't be running. Why do you think the outcome should be that you could be president? These are the things that the media just doesn't drill down with. And we come up with this SAT stuff. The biggest complaint is let's have transparency, because you know what's going to happen if there's transparency. You have a real good idea what's going to happen. People are going to go nuts. There's going to be big fights over this. This is another example how these bean counters in their utopian thinking, you cannot calculate on a spreadsheet advantage, disadvantage, down to a score, 1 to 100. Can you imagine sitting, on your SATs, well, you know, they were kind of substandard in reading and math, but look at this. He's a 100 score. Then the other guy, let's say it's a male, has a perfect score on the SATs. There are people that get that right, but he's a one. So now the calculation has to be, how much does that hurt you if you're a one? How much does it help you if you're a 100? Well, really, though, it should be the other way. I think there ought to be, if you're a disadvantage, it ought to be, think about this logically, it ought to be negative numbers. You ought to start with 1 through 100, maybe with 100 being the highest privilege, and then go the other way with a negative, because it's a negative. It brings you down. So it's a negative 50. I'm a negative 50. It's like being under par and over par or something. 855-839-1210. There's a future here. If you want to get into the ground floor of something, either as a lawyer or as a gamer of this system, coach people on how to affect their adversity score. And you know people are sensitive. You heard Howard Schultz there. He's right. Why can't I tell my story that I came up through a couple of two reasons? You're a white male, and two, you're screwing up the whole thing. You're going to get Trump elected, so we don't want to hear your story. We want to hear the hard scrapple story of all these other people, particularly Joe Biden. We want to hear about Scranton. Let's go to Keith in Atlantic City. Keith, you're in Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how are you, Dom?
Good.
The educational industrial complex seems to be the only industry that no one ever wants to talk about costs and people's salaries or anything like that.
Right.
They just want to talk about, well, how can we lend people more money? How can people earn more money to pay for this? Could you imagine if they treated prescription drug companies the same way? Oh, who cares what they're making? Forget what they're making. You need to go get a loan and attach it to yourself for the rest of your life.
Well, right.
Go get a prescription loan. Let's come up with a prescription loan program. Could you imagine?
Well, that's exactly right. And the number of American college presidents that are making $500,000 or $1 million a year grows every year. It's exponential. That's exactly right. But you can't even know your adversity score now. There's going to be trouble with this, Keith.
Oh, the adversity score. It sounds like that's just racism.
Well,
if you're going to give people privilege over other people because of their adversity,
right?
It seems like all kinds of isms. It's crazy.
Well, nobody's going to accept, except in this one, the winners will be those that have had the biggest hurdles. Will be the most, and this isn't going to ratchet up more victimhood. Again, if this were transparent, if it's forced to be transparent, there will be a war. Because what will happen is then you will see various scores and you'll see, well, how did you arrive at this? Why is this more important than this? I gave you some of the, and they think they're being scientific. Let's face it. All these things, the median income and all the rest of it. They're not taking into account, and this is what happens with these bureaucrats, with these centralized planners. You can't take into account the average family. They might be living in a neighborhood that they're scrimping to barely be in that neighborhood. Let's say it's a pretty decent neighborhood, but they're killing themselves to live there because it's a better school. They go down in this versus the person who stays in the neighborhood. It might be within blocks, too. Did I ever tell you that that's the case? It might be in blocks. There was a school out that the University of Penn manned, and it was an excellent school. And people, to get their kid into that school, over a weekend when you would apply, were actually standing in line. Now, it got kind of crazy. People, because it's cold out, were building sheds and all for the line, like, staying there because you didn't want to lose your place in line. They stopped that. They went to a lottery system. I kind of admired the parents that do it. But they have what are called catchments. It means you have to be within a certain geographic area. And if you're 6 inches outside that area, you go to the bad school versus this wonderful school that happens to be bordering on a neighborhood that's not good. Well, just imagine this stuff. Imagine how they'll be calculating various neighborhoods right here in Philadelphia. And if you happen to live inside one, you might be in public housing inside that. Well, then we're going to have to calculate this over here. This is endless. And once you go down this path, it's fraught with class warfare, trouble. It's not helping us as a country.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.